Hello and welcome to another episode of Stroke FM, and also a special place where we're going to put this video and podcast on a website for our article called The Clot Thickens, Integrating Stroke into Thrombosis Training. So I have the special privilege of having Stephanie here. Welcome.
Thank you, Hooman.
Stephanie, why don't you tell the audience where you work and what you do?
So I'm Stephanie Carlin. I'm a critical care pharmacist and recent pharmacist thrombosis fellowship graduate, and I work in Hamilton, Ontario.
Thank you. And I'm Hooman Khosravani, a stroke specialist in Toronto. So Stephanie, let's just jump right into what the topic is that we're going to be discussing with our audience, which is we're talking about integrating stroke into thrombosis fellowships and training programs such that both disciplines can have sort of more interdisciplinary collaboration, but also learn from each other. Could you tell us a little bit about the manuscript that you composed and the ideas that you have with regards to this topic?
Yeah, absolutely. So after starting my thrombosis fellowship training in Toronto, I noticed that there were a number of thrombosis consults involving patients with stroke, either as the primary reason for the consult, or consults where we were asked to see a patient for another thromboembolic concern who had stroke as a concurrent issue. Our fellowship program hadn't offered a stroke rotation in the past, but we felt additional training with respect to the various etiologies of stroke and their differing acute and ongoing antithrombotic management would allow a learner to better integrate these issues into assessment and treatment recommendations. And we had informally surveyed some other thrombosis fellowship programs, both in Canada and the US, and found that none of them offered a stroke rotation as part of their program. So after Hooman kindly offered to offer one, and after discussion with my program director, we decided to initiate a stroke rotation as a pilot trial. And after a positive experience with that, both from a thrombosis and stroke learner perspective, as well as from a patient care perspective, we decided to continue offering this rotation as part of our program. And it was after that that Hooman and I decided to collaborate to write this paper to highlight our experience and to encourage other programs to consider adopting it as well.
Indeed, that's exactly right. And so we essentially, both of us, obviously huge fans of thrombosis in all of its realms. And in Canada, we're lucky because there is a society that we both belong to, or essentially called Thrombosis Canada, which has a lot of amazing resources. And we thought that it was so natural to bring the world of thrombosis, who already actually has a number of guidelines, for example, anticoagulation in the form of for essentially non-valvular atrial fibrillation or anticoagulation for valve disorders, including mechanical valves. There's a lot of overlap with stroke topics. And so we thought, why not survey what's happening and kind of really formally bring these together? So that's excellent. Thank you for that overview. The other thing is, as you mentioned, we encountered a series of cases that really were enhanced through joint discussions with not only the rotation, but also the two services kind of working together. Do you want to sort of maybe give us an example of a case where you felt there was a significant amount of benefit sort of built right in through an integrated a training environment, but also a consultation model?
Yeah, absolutely. So one particular great example that came up while I was on my rotation with Hooman was involving a young woman in her early 20s who was on a combined oral contraceptive pill, who had presented to a peripheral hospital with a large MCA stroke for which she received TPA. And then she was subsequently transferred to us for thrombectomy. And when we were assessing the patient for possible stroke etiologies, I had noticed that the blood work done at the transferring hospital, whose lab used a lupus-sensitive PTT, revealed a prolonged PTT, which suggested the possibility of APS as a cause of stroke in this patient. And this finding subsequently led to further workup, which revealed the patient to also have an elevated anti-cardiolipin antibody, as well as elevated anti-beta-2 glycoprotein 1 antibodies, which, pending further repeat testing, was strongly suggestive of the patient having triple-positive APIs. And in this particular case, the stroke team was able to educate me on TPA and EVT, as well as appropriate timing of antithrombotic initiation to balance risks of recurrent stroke and other thrombotic events with that of hemorrhagic transformation. And I was able to educate some of the stroke learners on service about APS and the evidence for appropriate antithrombotic treatment and contraception in this context.
Thank you very much for that. And obviously the education and collaboration was bilateral, including, for example, nuances of what tests can you do in the context of an acute thrombotic event when looking for something like antiphospholipid antibody syndromes, the nuances of management, as our audience will know, the management of APLA is nuanced depending on if it's sort of potentially like a single antibody that's positive, including the patient's bleeding risk profile compared to when it's a triple positive situation. So this just gives a very good example of how we learn from each other and how patients who are coming in with a thromboembolic event can have multiple facets where these discussions are quite helpful. And it's useful to say that in your shop, thrombosis service is sort of getting off the ground. You're actually leading that. And in our shop, stroke and thrombosis are often consulted in patients, for example, with valves, mechanical valves with stroke who have recently had a valve, or patients with recent PE, DVT, certainly people who have stroke in the context of malignancy, and of course, the prothrombotic states like APLA, and of course, malignancy. So there's a lot of sort of collaboration, the integration of both services together is probably very valuable. Do you think that stroke should spend some time also in thrombosis?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. I mean, as we've alluded to, there's a lot of different topics that overlap between the two services. And I think, you know, as I highlighted in the previous case, antiphospholipid antibody syndrome being one. And then we've alluded to other things as well in terms of patients with malignancy and associated thromboses and, you know, other topics as well, essential thrombocytosis, polycythemia, and then some of our mechanical valve patients that subsequently have strokes. There's lots of overlap between both venous and arterial thrombosis. So I think both learners from both services could really benefit and absolutely having stroke learners with up on thrombosis would be very helpful for their learning as well, I would think.
Absolutely. That's terrific. And Stephanie, how do you envision this actually becoming operationalized? So imagine you sort of carved the path in sort of doing this as the first person at our shop, at our center. But as you sort of developed the program at your center, how do we see this interaction developing, and sort of how long would a trainee potentially from either service would spend on rotation with its complementary partner service?
Well, I think probably a rotation of at least 4 weeks would be ideal, just because of all the topics that ideally would be covered in such a rotation, but could probably extend up to 6 or 8 weeks if the learner had time for that as well. There's also the possibility of including a research or a project component around expert knowledge or quality improvement. So that extra time could kind of allow for that, I would think.
That's exactly a very positive thing, especially when potentially a QI project can come out of this. And as you mentioned, it also depends on how long the fellowship is. Some folks may be doing a two-year stroke fellowship or a two-year thrombosis fellowship, maybe with a general thrombosis fellowship and a subspecialization or a research year. And so these opportunities could certainly be extended as it's being rolled out you know, in a more prolonged manner. Now, in the survey that you did, you discovered that actually this is not certainly across Canada a common thing, but we feel that there is ways of sort of doing this with sort of vascular medicine at many other centers. Can you comment a little bit about our national experience, and then what could potentially occur at other centers where they have more extensive vascular medicine and potential integration into stroke, but also then de novo thrombosis or already existing thrombosis services?
Yeah, absolutely. So as you alluded to in the survey that we did of our four Canadian thrombosis fellowship programs, none of them currently offer any stroke training, either as a mandatory rotation or as an elective rotation. And that was actually the case for the US programs that I had surveyed as well. As you mentioned, there are vascular medicine programs currently in place where those folks may currently have some more stroke experience than is currently part of the thrombosis training programs. And, you know, if that's not already currently in place, then, you know, I think that that should be a focus of their training as well. Yeah, certainly in the meantime, having thrombosis fellows spend time on vascular medicine and vice versa would be helpful as well.
Yeah, and you know, a thrombosis service typically is seen in a tertiary or quaternary center, but through these types of collaborative efforts, not only can future trainees start such services or be trained in one field, for example, in hematology or pharmacy or neurology, internal medicine, and then have these expertise to start a more local scenario of a thrombosis service as needed, or the services can collaborate on thrombosis joint rounds, case discussions, case conferences, or in fact at the level where there is a dedicated thrombosis service with built-in integration. So I think, as you mentioned, these are all fantastic ways of getting this off the ground and really enhancing the world that's out there in thrombosis. And certainly we're very blessed to bring stroke into the fold within our national society that's really focused on thrombosis, such as Thrombosis Canada. So that's fantastic. So any parting thoughts for our audience as we wrap up these concepts of integration and potentially how to go about doing so?
Yeah, I think becoming aware of the possible learning that your thrombosis learners could have by doing a stroke rotation. And, just considering some other collaborative efforts, if that's not immediately possible. Again, just exploring rounds, joint case discussions, that type of thing is at least something that we could encourage programs to adopt in the short term before perhaps building a more formal rotation and collaboration between the thrombosis and stroke services.
That's right. And bringing it all back to this concept that we both support, which is some form of embedded rotation of thrombosis into stroke and stroke into thrombosis, and that integration, including attending potentially case discussions, half-day presentations, as you mentioned, are really easy, pragmatic ways of doing it. I want to thank you again for joining sort of the stroke service together, working on this and coming up with this. And thank you for the excellent science that you're able to do with the survey putting together the manuscript and then going through it together as we sorted out how to make this a proposition for a future consideration for enhancing integration between these two services, including using local practices such as vascular medicine.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Hooman, for collaborating with me on this initiative and for having me on the podcast.
Thank you so much, Stephanie. And thank you to our audience for this special episode of Stroke FM. And for our audience on the website that accompanies the manuscript, we both welcome any of your questions. You can reach us using the information that's on the website. And we look forward to hopefully supporting this sort of field moving forward. And if there are any questions or if you're interested in further supporting this, please get in touch with us. So saying bye-bye from Toronto, thank you.